So last week, if you were with us, we looked at a passage of scripture that talked about having an amazing party. It was like, hey, we gonna party. Did you know they talked about parties in the Bible? Ooh, some of you did. Some of you are like, what kind of party are we having? So it was called the Great Banquet. And in this parable, which is a story where Jesus tells a story to prove a Bible point. Have you heard of this thing? Parable. Okay. It's a Jesus word, so a Bible word. Whoa. I know who that was without even looking. Okay. This parable that Jesus told urges us as believers to compel or urge others to come into God's house. Thus the name of our series, Compelled to Come. So as we took a deeper look into the passage, we discovered together that everybody, all of us, have a very significant and important role in filling God's house and bringing people into God's house. So put up the scripture that we looked at last week, Luke 14:23. It says, then the master, so the guy that was throwing the big giant party, said to his servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Let's look at the next, same scripture, different a version of the Bible. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. So we're compelling them. We're urging them. Let's see what the message says. The message version is probably my favorite. It says, then the master said, go to the country, get out in that country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. So a little context for those of you that weren't here last week, these people that we're inviting extra people because the original people that were invited came up with a bunch of lame excuses as to why they could not come. In fact, the Bible says that with one accord, they all came up with excuses. How many of you know when one friend doesn't show up to the party, suddenly someone else is like, oh, Tina ain't going. Actually, I have to work tonight. Oh, Jenny's working tonight. Well, George ain't going. Do any of you guys know someone named George? We need to bring back the name George. That's what I'm talking about. Give me a George. Is there a George here tonight? No, you need to compel and urge George to get here. Okay, next week, I want George. Drag him in. Bring him in. But when we looked, so we looked at that word compel. It means to drive together, meaning like together, you're urging, you're pulling. So we talked about how we were going to together pull people into God's house. So that's what we're looking at when we talk about compelling and urging people to come. But I want to point out, say one accord. One accord, people had excuses. Okay. So one after another, it was that domino effect. So if people who don't want to do something can do something in one accord, can do it all together. Surely, say surely. Surely, people who do want to do something can do it in one accord together. You think so? Can we make that happen? Okay, so the title of tonight's message is, Are You With Me? So write that down. Are you with me? So while you're writing that down, let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and let's pray that Jesus would speak to us tonight, that the Holy Spirit would come and fill our hearts, fill our minds, and fill this place. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for these opportunities and these moments to come together, to dive into your word, and just to take a few moments to quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, to hear what you're speaking to us. We ask that your Holy Spirit would just divinely open up our hearts and minds, each of us as individuals, for what you're speaking. God, I know you have a profound word for each and every individual in here, and it's not the same word. God, you have something you want to speak to us as individuals. Though I may bring a message that's for the body of believers and people that are in this room, thank you, God, that we will very clearly hear you speak to us tonight. Whether we believe in you or not, we know you're speaking, and I pray that hearts would be open, that eyes would see and ears would hear what you have to say tonight, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, you in Acts chapter 1? You should be. I gave you plenty of time. All right, so I'm going to read Acts chapter 1. It's about 8 verses, so if you haven't read your Bible today, we should be good to go. All right, the former account I made, O Theophilus, I don't know if I said that right, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, whom he had chosen. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles, right? So to whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. So if you didn't know, Jesus is God's son, came from heaven to earth, lived the life that we live. He was fully human, fully man, and at the same time, fully God. He died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't end there. After 3 days, he rose from the dead, and there's historical evidence of this. So whether you believe everything the Bible says or not, you can look back in history. The crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus is an actual recorded fact in history. You literally cannot dispute it. Where you go from there and what you believe, well, that is up for discussion on what you believe. So this is what it's talking about. Jesus came back from the dead. He showed up to his disciples. So in that process, it says, and being assembled together with them. So Jesus was with them. He came back from the dead. I just want to keep saying that. He came back from the dead. Okay. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many more days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So I want to stop there for just a second. So we see where Jesus, the most important thing he felt he needed to communicate to his disciples when he came back from the dead, before he then goes on to ascend into heaven in front of their eyes, he tells them, hey, you need to wait. You need to come together and you need to wait, because you need to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then you will be empowered to go and fulfill the commission of going into all the world, to all the ends of the earth, and making disciples. Okay, so skip over, in my Bible I have to turn my page, to verse 14. Still in chapter 1, verse 14. So as we kind of skip down, we see where it says the disciples, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So it was the disciples, there were some other women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So there were several people there, but they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. Just a little side note here for those of you that have been with us over the past 6 weeks or so, we did a series called Peace Be Still, and our key verse there was Philippians 4:6. So in Acts 1:14, all these people continued in one accord. Say one accord. In prayer and supplication. Does prayer and supplication sound familiar to anybody? It should, because Philippians 4:6, which we studied closely, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So already, as we're stepping into this next part, we dove deep. And if you weren't here, you can go back, you can get the messages. Amazing series about peace and how peace is possible and lives within us through Jesus. But we keep coming back to this thing, prayer, and we talked about it last week. Prayer and supplication. What's supplication mean? Anybody? Not thanksgiving, because there's a separate word for that. But good guess. That's why I'm asking. Prayer. Supplication, it's just request. Just what are your requests to God? So supplication is a big word. But it's just request to God. So the first thing we need to know tonight, I want you guys to capture and walk away with, because we're here and we're trying to figure out, how do we compel people to come in? And it starts by, we have to be in one accord and not just together. So if you look at the definition of one accord, it basically says you're together in something. But I thought more about it, and I thought, you know, we can be together and not in one accord. Like, all of you guys are here together tonight, right? But you all have different spaces and places and viewpoints and things you come from. So it's possible to be together. Just like my daughter, she plays soccer. So anybody who does sports, Everyone can be together on a soccer field or basketball court, but typically, at least with those two, there's two teams, right? So they're together, but they're not in one accord. So being in one accord, it's crucial to our ability to go and make disciples. It's crucial to our ability to draw other people unto Jesus. Let me tell you how I know this. You're not going to see it on the screen, but I'm going to read it to you. You can flip over. It's not far. John chapter 17, if you just flip a few pages back. John 17, verses 20 through 23. I love this portion of scripture. It says, this is Jesus. And if your subtitle should say, Jesus prays for all believers. So Jesus is specifically praying in this passage for those he knew would call upon his name and be a Jesus follower. It says, I do not pray for these alone. He'd been praying for his disciples. So now he's praying for all believers, current and future. That's us. He says, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So we see that Jesus exemplified one accord with God. And Jesus is praying that we would all together be one, that we would be one, not just come together as people. There's tons of groups around the world that come together. They center, they drive together, they come around a common point. You can probably think of any religion, any nonprofit, cult. There's all sorts of things, school, a organization, things can come together. So people can come together. But he's talking specifically about believers coming together, being unified with God the Father, Jesus the Son. And it doesn't say it here. It doesn't specifically say the Holy Spirit here, but it's implied. So he wants us to all be in one accord. Look at this in verse 21. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. If you're reading through this scripture really quickly, it can get confusing pretty quickly. Like I read it and I'm like, what did he just say? Basically what Jesus just said is our ability to come together as believers and be unified is what will help the world know that Jesus is God's son and that Jesus really does love them. But there's power in unity in us coming together. All right, flip back over to Acts. We're going to jump over to Acts chapter 2. All right, so you needed to know that foundation because it's important that you understand we be together, we be in one accord. We not just be together, but we be in one accord. All right, Acts chapter 2, just a few verses. Let me get over there. Okay, so what are the disciples doing right now? We just read it. Anybody? They what? They chilling. They waiting, okay? So they're sitting, they're hanging out together. So what I love about this scripture, if you go back to Acts chapter 1, Jesus gave them instruction, right? All of the disciples. And together they chose to obey and do what was asked of them. In this case, that was obedience was waiting, was sitting together and waiting and praying together. So they're in what we call the upper room. Basically, it's just a place. It could be this space right here. But they're in one space together. They're praying. They're just waiting because Jesus said it was going to happen. So they took him at his word, and they're like, okay, Jesus, we're going to wait. We're going to see what happens. So we pick up in chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say one accord. Say one accord like you mean it. Okay, there we go. All right. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Say fill the house. Fill the house. So last week we looked at how God wants us to come and he wants us to fill his house with people. That was step one. We got to go out. We got to invite. We got to let people know there's a place they can come. There's a place that they can experience God and encounter Jesus. So we had to go out. But now we're seeing where it's not just Jesus that they can come and encounter, but there's someone else in this, what we believe is the Trinity, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, right away, some of you are like, what? They started speaking Spanish, French, whatever. They could. Tongues, speaking it basically, they started speaking in other languages. When you go on to read the text, they are actually, some of them are actually speaking the native language of those around them. And that testified to people because they're like, wait a second, I know you don't know my language, but I hear you praying to God in my language. And that actually drew them to Jesus. Now, when you hear baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people think, oh, that's that talking in tongues, right? Well, yes, but that's just part of it. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, guys, is just this empowering. It's God. Jesus told his disciples, okay, I've been with you. I've walked with you. I've taught you. I've released you. But there's something else you need. Jesus himself walked with the Holy Spirit, right? He was baptized in water. And then we see it says it looked like in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. So even Jesus himself didn't go out and do his ministry until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, okay? And so some people don't catch that because they're like, well, wait a second. Jesus was the Son of God. So like he was just like came out of the womb doing miracles, right? Like as a baby, he was like, I need milk. Oh, there it is. Okay. No, that's not what Jesus did, okay? Just in case anybody was wondering. Some of you are like, I know Pastor Jenny. He didn't do that. Okay, that's silly. But here's point number two. The Holy Spirit will fill the house. Okay, Jesus has promised us that. We have been praying for each of you individually. We've been praying for those that God's going to send. But we've been praying and believing, and we know God's here tonight. The Holy Spirit's here because Jesus has promised us that. And we see specifically where it happened in Acts chapter 2. But this was not a one-and-done situation, guys. This is an ongoing thing. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through our ability to come together that others are going to know Jesus, that they're going to be brought into the house. And again, this isn't the only place people can come to worship. I'm so excited when I hear of anyone going and encountering Jesus in any place or space. But this is certainly a space that has more room, that has seats that can be filled. I'm so proud of you guys because I know several of you invited and brought some friends tonight. I was talking to someone, they're like, yeah, I texted her like 10 times. I'm like, awesome. You keep texting. We got to compel. We got to urge. We got to recognize that it's a big deal for people to be in God's house. But in order for us to go out and let people know there is a Jesus they can encounter, it has to be a supernatural thing. And that supernatural thing is being filled with the supernatural power of God. And it's not weird. It's not strange. It's just saying, all right, Jesus, you promised me this power, this empowerment to go, and when I invite someone, they would be, something on what I say would carry weight, and it wouldn't just be Diego saying, come eat all of the Reese's at LYC. It'll be Diego saying, hey, you should come check out LYC. And then they're like, I think I might do that, you know? But the point is, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. But you have to be empowered. So the Holy Spirit's going to fill the house. But let's look at verse number 4 again. It says, so first the wind came and filled the place. And then in verse 4 it says, so the individuals, were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So point number 3 is we can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. Living a life empowered by the Holy Spirit means that we receive the ability to be empowered, to go and walk in freedom, to liberate others, to help set others free. We've been talking about how a lot of people, some of you guys are going through some really tough stuff right now, whether it's with friends, with mom and dad, situations at home. I even heard someone struggling having a situation with neighbors. There's so many different things that we are going through, friends are going through, our schools, and people, we've talked about it, they need Jesus, they need peace, and they're going to find that in Jesus. But guys, LYC, encountering the Holy Spirit, encountering Jesus, this can't be the only place it happens, for you or for individuals. We want each of you to be empowered to go. I pray as you're going throughout your week, You're hearing the Holy Spirit talk to you. And maybe he's telling you, hey, don't do that thing. Or maybe he's saying, hey, you should go talk to that person. He'll tell you to, he'll lead you and guide you. The scripture Matt used today, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. The Holy Spirit, he helps you in that process. But we have to allow him to fill us. He's not gonna overtake you against your will. That's not how God works. Okay? So Jesus is who he is, and he allows us to accept that invitation. So tonight we're gonna have the chance in just a few minutes. I'll call the band up in a second. But I'm gonna invite the worship team to come back up, and we're gonna have a chance just to respond. Some of you have already been empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. I want you to be praying for your friends that aren't here tonight. Maybe even for your friends who are here tonight. But just praying that they would be drawn to encounter Jesus in a new way. Because you know what? I believe we all need a fresh revelation of Jesus in our lives. We need fresh we regularly need revelation from him. We are designed to seek and crave relationship. And we can find it in the person of Jesus, but you have to walk with him. You have to talk with him. You have to listen. And you're like, Pastor Jenny, you lost me a long time ago. I have no idea what you're talking about at this point. But I talk about it so normally because for me, walking with God, talking with God, listening to God, it's just been a part of my life for a long time now. From a young age, I've just been able to do it. It's just been completely normal for me. It hasn't been weird. It hasn't been strange. Now, have I seen weird and strange things? Sure. With other people? Absolutely. But the God I know, he's not weird. He's not strange. When he introduces himself personally to you, it's a very real thing. And it's a real exchange. And you can know he's there. And he's talking with you. And he's walking with you. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Because I just want to get rid of all distractions for this moment. And before we can, if you're in this place tonight and you're like, Jenny, that sounds really cool. I really want to be able to have boldness to go and tell others about Jesus. You don't even have to know Jesus that well. But if you have confessed that he is Lord, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is God and that he is your Lord and Savior, you're saved. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that tonight if you never have. But if you believe that, and you say, I just want to go, and I want to have that power you're talking about, that power that Jesus promised, that his disciples used, because let me tell you, if you go on to read Acts, his disciples, Jesus, the house was being filled and growing by the thousands daily. Many, many people were being drawn to Jesus. And it was just through the disciples going out, and you know what they did? They shared what they saw. And that's all Jesus is asking us to do. He's not asking you to go and tell, you don't have to know the whole Bible cover to cover to lead someone to Jesus. All you need to be able to do is be filled with the Holy Spirit and go and just tell them what you know, what you've experienced, and let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest.